It might be a little bit light anyway.
Where are you teaching?
Where is teaching class?
Sounds good.
Sunday, September 29th, and that's going to be at 3:30 here at the building. And there's some little cards that are made up, and they're sitting there. And they are the ladies. If you want to grab one of those and get that on your calendar, that is Sunday, September 29th at 3:30. And I'm sure she will do a fantastic job. Thank you for doing that. Let's see here. I haven't done anything else. We haven't had a prayer.
Okay, all right.
So still got to have
to get
out.
Okay. If I passed you on the way here, I'm sorry.
It was my fault.
Okay, let's begin with a prayer. John, you want to lead us, please?
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank so much for today. We thank so much for this rest. Thank so much for this church family that we have. We ask that as we go through this class this morning, that we are good listeners and that we consider what is presented to us and that we use it to raise our children to be closer to you. Ask that as we go through this worship service that we keep our focus on you and worshiping you, and that as we go through the rest of this week, we always strive to do your will and to teach as many people about you as we can. Be with those that are sick, be with those that are grieving and those that are traveling, and keep them safe and give us varsity and varsity.
Okay, this morning, we are going to study what I have in my notes as lesson 5, before Snapchat and texting. This is going to be about prayer. One of the things that I want to start with is this slide. If you were in here last quarter, then you'll be familiar with it. Dear men, close your eyes. Imagine you have a daughter. Imagine she is dating a guy just like you. Does that make you happy? If it doesn't, you need to change. That's pretty simple. Okay, do you have your mobile devices with you, your cell phones? Get them out. I'm serious. Get them out. Get them out. If you do not have the Bible app on your phone, then I want you to take time to add it right now. Now, if you have, you may have a Bible app that you're happy with. That's fine. If you don't, this is the one that I use. Very, very good app. You can go to the App Store. This is free. Search Bible. And then you will find, if it's not the first one that pops up, it's going to probably be the second one. It has 1,500 versions. Many of them in language and letters you won't be able to recognize. But if you like for somebody to read the Bible to you, it will read to you. All you have to do, when you open it up and there's a passage, there'll be a little arrow at the bottom of the screen. You just hit it and it starts reading to you at the beginning of the chapter, I think.
I think some versions are that way, David, and some are not, but that okay. Function is available on some.
It's on the one that I have.
Gotcha.
And it's free. You can highlight passages if you wish. Different colors for different things. You can compare versions. I keep 5 versions on my Bible. The one I read the most is the NASB, New American Standard, because that's what my sword is here. But I also have other, I've got five versions I can go to very easily. I just hit the, if I'm reading something on the top of the page, then all I've got to do is hit the version right up here, hit that, and then it opens up to the five that I use most frequently. And it automatically goes there. There are 60 English versions. They're all listed underneath it, and you just scroll through them if you're interested in them. What I would encourage you to do is make sure that what you get is a translation and not some rephrase, because it needs to be translated. The other versions I have on mine is the NASB, the New King James Version, the King James Version, the NIV, and the ESV. They're all handy to me. So if I find a passage and I want to see how all these other versions word this passage, all I got to do is I just touch. It's right now, it's at Psalm 23. The verse of the day is Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. So all I have to do is just touch, and it highlights those. And then I hit compare, and then it gives the reading of those right there, all of them together. And I can see what they say. And when I'm finished with that, if I want to see something more, I can. Or if I want to just go back to my where I was, I just hit the version that I want to read. That's it. Or hit close, and it goes right back to where it was. Very, very good app. It also has a verse of the day. You can notify yourself. Read about, I start my day with a passage of scripture. It notifies me at about 5:33. You can set the time. And it tells me what the verse of the day is. It will tell you what your streak is, how many perfect weeks you have. If you're like me, if you're competitive at all, I want a perfect streak. And I'll end up reading the same passage several times in the day just to make sure I got it done. Because I got up to a streak of 186, and believe it or not, while we were in the meeting with Mark Roberts on Tuesday night of the meeting, I can't believe it. I look at it all the time during church, but I didn't read the verse of the day that day. And so the next morning when I got up, it said my streak was one, and I thought, foul, I'm going to fix this. So anyway, but you can have a streak. You can, if you read the verse of the day and you want to see more, all you got to do is touch it, and it will go. If you want to read the full chapter, it'll go to it. Last quarter when we did this, Kelly Holt was saying that many times he may read it, he'll think about what the context of that is, and he may read the chapter. But you can spend the first 10 minutes of your day thinking about the book. Also, if you want, this is called the Blue Letter Bible. I don't use it very much, but it does give me access to dictionaries and things of that nature, Vines, which I occasionally use.
Go back to the Bible app one more minute there. There's another feature that it has where it's got plans.
Yes.
You can pick a plan, and yes, then you can invite other people to join you on that plan. Mm-hmm. And then, so like if it's a, they got 3-day plans, 5-day plans, 7-day plans, 14-day plans, mm-hmm, and you can search in the search bar at the top the kind of topic that you'd like to think about or study about.
Yeah.
And you can search parenting or fear or love or whatever it might be, mm-hmm, and then it'll give you some suggestions about things that you can do. Then you can go in there and you can invite people. Even if they don't have the app, you can invite them by sending the link, and then they, yes, can download the app.
You can share your verse of the day, and it will either be just verse, or it may be a picture with a mountain in the background. You know, you've seen those things.
It's a very powerful thing for free.
It really is.
It really is. It can also create some discussion amongst the people that you invite to to be part of your group that you would be doing on that plan too.
The only thing I'll caution you, be careful when you read these plans. Keep the meat, throw away the bones. Do you understand what I mean? Sometimes you may read some things, particularly about salvation. I've forgotten the group that this comes through, but sometimes you're going to read things that are not going to be exactly right. But if they present some thought-provoking things that some of these plans. There's one that I opened, I read it one day, I didn't have time to finish, and I still have it finished, probably been open for a year, but I want to finish it. It's called Oxygen for My Soul. And what I read of it was good. There's a short devotional, then there's a passage of scripture. And it'll do that each day for ever how long the plan is. The Blue Letter Bible, the reason I mention that is because it's got some other resources available. So, Bible app is a great app. It's free. Download it now. Open the app. Select the version. Select the verse of the day, because that means it'll pop up and tell you what it is every day. And it will notify you about that, how you want it to. By email, I get it by email, I get it by text message. You select the notification settings, and you start your streak today. If you don't have it already, it is a great app. Okay, later on, this is what I encourage you to do. If you do not have a Strong's Concordance, I've got one at home. It's one of those big ones, as big as the, what do they call it? What do they call that big catalog that has all the car parts and everything? Everything you want to know about the 57 Chevy tells you how to repair the thing. What do they call that? What is it?
Pains or Chilton's? Pains or Chilton's?
Chilton's, that's what I'm thinking. You know how big that thing is. Well, that's how big my Strong's is. Very good book. Great book. Complete Concordance of the Bible. And tells you, you know, where a word appears. Then when you get what's called Super Strong or something like that, the strongest Strong's, I think that's what it's called. It will list all the Greek or Hebrew words and their numbers. And then you can go to the back. There's a resource in the back where Strong has Dr. James Strong. He can find all those words, all the Greek words that you find in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, all of the Greek that you, Hebrew that you find in the Old. Very, very valuable resource. And then especially when you think that Dr. Strong put that book together, I think, in the late 1700s or early 1800s, without a computer, just imagine. Probably did it with a quill. Just imagine. It may have driven me crazy. I don't know. But how you do a concordance of the entire, literally, you just think, if you did it on note cards, you look at the first word, N, and you write N, Genesis 1, verse 1. And then there's the, there's going to be a whole bunch of these that they really categorize them a little bit differently. Beginning, and then get a new note card. Whatever the word was, write them down. Can you imagine doing that and going through the entire book? That's what Dr. Strong did a couple of centuries ago. And you can get it in an app, free app. And they have different ones now. But this app is of the King James Version. You can probably pay a little bit and you'll get it in whatever version that you read. I was too cheap to do that. So it's linked, that one right there is linked to the King James Version. So sometime what you may do is I do that with my Bible app. I can compare passages and I have the King James and the New American Standard right together. So when I see whatever the word is in the King James, I can look in my New American Standard and see how it was translated. Or I will be reading my New American Standard. I see the word and then compare it to King James. Find the word that I'm looking for and I can see what it is in Greek or Hebrew. And then what Strong's does is it lists every passage that word appears when you're looking at it, how it is translated, and it tells you where they all are. It's an amazing resource. I use it all the time in my Bible study. It gives you insight into the original language. It's a very, very valuable resource. It's easy to use no matter what version you study. So, there you have that. Okay, one more resource here, Echo. I just discovered this yesterday when I was studying, and I'll tell you more about that. This is a prayer app. I can't tell you whether it's good or whether it's bad, but it reminds you. It can remind you to pray. You want to pray different times of the day. I don't know exactly how to use it. If you think of something you want to pray about, you open your app and you touch it, and it will say, add a prayer. And then there's another part that says, pray. So you just make your list of things you want to pray for, and then when you hit pray, they all pop up. So it looks to me to be a handy app. I can't say it's great or not. It is free, and so that is that. The reason I mention these resources is because these will help you get into a daily habit of the most single important book you can look at. This is God speaking to us. And the only way that we can train our minds to think like God wants us to think like God thinks, to think like Jesus thinks, to learn to be the kind of person Jesus was, to be godly, is to study this book. There's not another book on the planet you can read. There's lots of helps that you can read, but this is the original source, and this is the one that we need to study. So, the reason I'm talking about these things is because it is important for us to have daily habits. Okay. Let's hand out some handouts. Okay, this is to, now we're going to talk about does anybody know where the remote is?
I bet you a kid that's come through here and grabbed it and carried it off.
Don't try this at home.
Reason I wanted to hand out my notes are more detailed than the ones that you have there, but please take notes if there's anything that you think of that you want to talk about, ask about. What prayer habits do you want your children to have? Because when we talk here about prayer today, what I really want to talk about is our personal prayer lives and our prayer lives with our spouses. They can always improve. They can always improve. But the purpose of all of it is ultimately to get to how does that impact our children. What kind of prayer habits do you want your children to have? That's a provocative question. And it's not one we can't think about. It's not one we can't think about. It's one we need to think about and have an answer to. How often do you want your kids to pray?
Multiple times a day.
Multiple times a day. These are the things I wrote down for that answer. Daily, before meals, at bedtime. How about this? What is that verse? It's the second verse you ever memorized. Braves without ceasing. That's right. That ought to be our goal for our kids. Because that means that they are talking with God. What do you want your children to pray for? What do you want them to pray for? Important question. You know, when they're real little, they may pray for a certain gift. They sent a letter to Santa about. I don't know. Good. I think when I was little, I did. Of course, when we're kids, we can be confused about some things. But as our kids begin to grow and get older, I mean, that's something that we try to instill in them. But when we say their prayers with them at night before they go to bed, it's part of their routine. Aren't those good habits for them? Read a story, a Bible story, say a prayer. Let them pray. I guarantee you, these kids are praying in their classes. Because I've heard some of them pray. I've heard some of them pray. Not here, but I hear them when they're at home, when they're getting ready to have a meal with their family, and I'm with them, or if we're out someplace. So they are, we're talking about how do we develop prayer habits for our kids. If you had to make a choice right now, this may seem like a simple, stupid question, but if you had to make a choice right now, if your child was to communicate one way with it, and only one way, would you want them to do all their communication on Snapchat, on Instagram, on Facebook, on whatever else we're going to learn about tomorrow? Or would you want them to pray to God? There's only one of these things that's important. You know, I'm always mindful of Luke chapter 2. This is a great passage of Scripture. We've talked about it. You've heard us talk about it. And if you don't have it underlined in your Bible, then I urge you to do it. Luke chapter 2. Verse 52. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. The fourfold purpose of man, or the fourfold development or growth or maturity of man. Jesus grew in those four things. Wisdom, that means he was learning things like we learned at school. He was probably learning through keeping scriptures. Stature, grow up and be healthy and strong. We all want that for our kids, that's fine. In favor with God, develop spiritually, and in favor with man, develop socially. Those are the four ways that our kids need to grow. And I wouldn't say that the most important one, of course, is developing favor with God. But we should not ignore growing in favor with God with their stature or their wisdom or knowledge or in favor with man, developing socially and all of those things. There's only one of them. One of those things will get them off the planet. One of those four things will get them off the planet. And if we fail at that one thing, we failed at everything. So, we want to help our kids develop good prayer habits so that they communicate with God. I want to, let's think about this for a second. How can you teach your children to pray? This is not a hard question. Not an incorrect answer. How can you teach your kids prayer habits? We already talked about a few of them.
Pray with them.
Pray with them. What else? This may be a little bit more indirect. Have good prayer habits ourselves. And last is model our prayer habits. Let our kids see us do it. I will tell you, have you ever seen your kids do this if they're old enough? And if they're not, they're eventually going to do it. If your habit is, because I've seen one of mine do this. If your habits are to fold your hands when you pray, let's say at home over a meal, then, I mean, eventually you're going to see this. When you get ready to pray, what your child will do is try to, they may not be able to do their hands just like that, but they're going to do something. Mimic what you do. Model what you do. And what we're teaching them, what we are teaching them, is how to pray. Not that there's anything magic about folding your hands. Not that that's the case. But you'll see them mimic the things that you do. What are some of the reasons, and I don't know, I'm not asking this question correctly, I don't guess. What are reasons why we pray? And I'm not talking about our need to communicate with God or that sort of thing. Let me ask it this way. Has anybody ever felt guilty that they haven't prayed, but they prayed so seldom? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm asking it. Think about it. Have you ever thought, I can't remember the last time I prayed, other than sitting in the auditorium or in class. I can't remember the last time I prayed at home. And we feel bad for that. We think that, I better say a prayer because I haven't said one in such a long time. Or, perhaps we don't see this quite so often today. I guess it's possible. I don't see it quite so often today. I'll say it that way. But back in the first century, it was the habit of people to stand out on the corner and say prayers real loud. Probably when you get into Jerusalem, you'd see a number of people do that sort of thing. Based on some things that I've read, people that were not Jews that would pray to these Greek gods, they would shout all these names and titles for these gods. The reason they did that was to try to get the attention of the god. It's just so that the god someplace on Mount Olympus would have said, "Oh, listen." Or they may be Roman gods, I guess, during the first century, which were taken many times from the Greek gods. If those are the reasons that we pray, those are human focus motivations to pray. And Jesus discouraged us from that, even condemned it. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And let's just think about a few things that Jesus says here. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, he says, "When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full." He condemned that. People doing it for pray, and then for show. And then in the next few verses, he says, When you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. You know, for years when I thought about this passage of Scripture, when we think about the closet, we all know what the closet is. In the houses that these people lived in the first century, these were houses that would have made Joanna Gaines just go crazy. They were all open. No rooms, except maybe for a storage closet. That's the closet that Jesus was talking about. And what he was saying is, you be discreet about it. Hide yourself. Pray alone. Don't do it for show, for others. You do it because of what your communication with God needs to be. And when we pray, what we are doing is stepping into the presence of God to speak with Him privately. Think about that. Picture in your mind's eye, if you will, the throne of God. That's hard for me to conceive. I've seen artist descriptions of it or depictions of it before, where it's a stairway that goes up to the throne. I can't imagine. It's hard for me to imagine. God is spirit. I can't imagine what God looks like. Can we see God on the throne? See Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. Imagine that. He lets us come to Him and talk to Him. Unbelievable. Creator of the universe. He lets us come into His presence and talk to Him. Prayer means we are spending time with God. And it's because of that that Jesus gives some of the instructions that He gives. Prayer doesn't require magic formulas. It doesn't, or magic phrases. It doesn't require all these formulas. Require us to pray long and verbose prayers. Jesus doesn't want us to do that. Look at verses 7 and 8, Matthew 6, 7 and 8. When you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. Have you ever gone to God in prayer and you can't say a word? Have you ever been in that spot? Lord, I don't know what to say. Can you help me? He knows what we need. But we are the ones that need to pray. We can't skip prayer and say, Lord, you know what I need. Prayer demonstrates dependence on God. I'm going to give you an example about that here in a minute. It demonstrates dependence on God. I'm the one that needs the prayer, because prayer means I'm going to Him and I am beseeching His favor. And it can be about a number of different things. Jesus talks about what we need to pray about here. God knows what we need, but we need to ask. We need to ask. That's the important thing about prayer.
So I was thinking about two or three things about what you just talked about. We talked about prayer habits and what kind of prayer habits we want our children to have. We talked about Bible study last lesson. And we talked about the app this morning and some of the things that are available there. And you know, that really is all very much tied together. It's all interwound. And you know, you talk about having goals for your prayer life. I think the other thing that we've got to do that we don't always do is we're not as specific as we should be. Mm-hmm. I think we're more general than we should be a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to be more specific in our prayer life. And that can tie directly back to our study. Mm-hmm. So yesterday morning, you know, I was just thinking about what I'm going to really focus on for the next 7 days is being thankful. And all the things that I have to be thankful for. And I spent an hour yesterday morning thinking about it. after I'd done my reading. And so, you know, it really, it was very, I mean, it's very helpful because during the entire day, I kept going back to that thought. And then the other thing I think about too, when we talk about our kids modeling our prayers, you know, the other question, to your point a minute ago, when you go to God in prayer, and again, you're specific or you say, I don't even know what to say. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I would say to us, and I was shocked to hear this in a class that we did a year or so ago. We were talking with husbands and wives, and we talked about prayer life. And I asked the question, how many of you as husbands and wives pray together daily? Now, that goes back to the triangle of God being at the top and the husband and the wife and their relationship individually with God, but their relationship together as well. And so the point is, you know, how are you going to teach your kids how to pray? How are you going to have the kind of priorities? How are you going to work as a team if you are not praying together? And if you got something going on that's a problem between the two of you, how much better are you going to be able to resolve it when you go to God humbly and you're asking for all the things that you need Him to help you with? And you're holding the hand of the one that you're going to spend your life with to be able to make sure that both of you want to be what He wants you to be, and you're recognizing how much you collectively need His help but want to be a worker for Him as well, as a couple and as individuals too.
Yeah. It's all is really very important. And the thing I want us to talk about or think about for just a moment about when we go to the throne, we say that in a kind of a figurative way, but it's a literal thing. When we approach the throne, how are we able to do that? Why are we able to do that? What does that demonstrate? It demonstrates we have a relationship with God Almighty. Our kids come and speak to us. They come and speak with us because of our relationship with them. I want to think about this. I wrote an article one time. Why do babies cry? Think about that. Why do babies cry? Well, I've got parents of young babies. Why do babies cry?
Hungry.
They're hungry.
They're in need of something.
They need something. They're wet. They're uncomfortable. They have gas. They want to be held. I mean, the number of things that babies need, you can count them all on one hand. And when they need something, how do they let us know?
The only way they can.
Pardon?
The only way they can.
Yeah. Well, they cry. They let us know. They let us know something's up. They cry. And this is the thing that is so amazing to me. They don't speak our language. They don't understand the word we say. They don't even know if there's anybody there. When they come out, they're crying. And here's the unique thing about it, Mom and Dad. We don't speak their language, but we know what they want. We figure out what they want and what they need, and we fix it for them. That's what God of heaven does. I'm not putting us in the same spot with God. God knows everything. He knows what we need before we ask for it. But the reason that these things with our children, the reason they come to us is because of their relationship with us. And so then we need to think about that. When we approach God, what's our relationship with Him? You know, how would you like it? And I'm going to come right to you, Brandon. How would you like it if your children never came to you about anything with the same, or they came to you about the things that they need in life with the same frequency that you talk to the Father? What would you think? If my kids were quiet for too long of a time, I went looking for them. Because you know they're in something. Or if it was Colin, he'd run off. He'd run off. He'd left. He'd closed, opened the door, sneaked out, closed it real quiet, and ran to the neighbor's house. Don't tell me how many times I had to find him like that. So think about that. If our children come to us with the same frequency that we go to God, would we be satisfied with that? Would we feel like they were developing a healthy relationship with us? I want us to think about that. That's why it is so important that we work on that relationship and how often we talk. Brendan, what were you going to add?
I was just going to say, that's one of the things that I struggle a lot with, is what to pray for. Because we think we know what's best for ourselves, but we really don't. And, you know, sometimes we just don't know. But in Luke 18, when Jesus heals the blind beggar, and I turned there so I wouldn't miss, so I wouldn't get it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 41 in Luke 18 says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I imagine it was probably pretty obvious to Jesus what this man needed.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he still wanted to hear it from him, what he wanted him to do for him.
Yeah.
And I think that's important for us, that even though he knows what we need, we still have to ask him.
Yeah, great point. That's a great point. Brian?
Something I struggle with this prayer is making it sacrificial. Like, I'll find myself, wake up in the middle of the night, there's nothing better to do, so I'll lay there and pray till I fall back asleep.
Great. It's a great idea.
That's a horrible, yes, but it's a horrible way to do it, because I've given God only what's left over. I can't sleep, so I'm going to pray. I haven't given him anything, you know, during the day when I need to be praying, when I need to put thought into it. That's something that I found myself doing here lately, and I need to. And I don't want praying to fall into that habit. I want praying to be in that habit. I need to pray multiple times a day before it's what I want to do.
Well, the reason I say that I think that's a good idea, because I'm gonna quote Debbie Lanfear here. This Debbie Lanfear. There were times when I couldn't sleep because I'm worried about, this is before I became a judge, I worry about less things now. And I guess worry, I don't know if that's the word to think about, but I think of it in terms of when you're running your own business and the things that are going on, the things you have to do, what you have to do to keep the business going, all of those things, they can keep you up at night, can't they? Yeah. Keep you up at night. And if I'm turning and turning, she would say, why can't you sleep? Oh, I'm just thinking about stuff. She would say a prayer to God and let him have it. Say a prayer and let God have it. That's true. And we can do that. Because he's bigger than every single problem we have. Every single one. And when I say, that I have gone to God in prayer and said, I don't know what to say. I'm talking about being in the deepest, deepest valley. God knew what I needed. I didn't know what to. I knew some things I couldn't ask for because it couldn't happen. And so there have been moments, and those of you who know me can imagine, where I would pray to God while I'm driving, when I'm in bed, when I'm in the shower, at any moment in time, and say, "Dear Lord, please help me make it through this hour. Help me make it through the next." There are times in life that are just going to knock us on the floor. I'm telling you, if it yet hadn't happened to you yet, that's just because you're not old enough yet. It's going to happen. And we have to be able to communicate with the Father. I really expected to get a whole lot further than this. But this is where we'll start on Wednesday night. And remember, the subject of this ultimately is, what do we want to pray about for our